If you look at the beginning of Psalm 18, what we call the title, and you turn over to 2 Samuel 22, you'll notice that 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, is what would be the title of Psalm 18. 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18 are the same account. And I want to read 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. Notice that this is at the end of David's life, and we have this psalm, and then in Psalm 23, we have the list of mighty men. This is at the end of David's life when he is summarizing the victories that God has given him over his enemies. And so Psalm 18 is just about word for word 2 Samuel 22. And the neat thing about that is that Psalm 18, verse 50, turn with me there again, we're going back and forth, but Psalm 18, verse 50, great deliverance giveth he to his king and showeth loving kindness to his anointed, to David and to his seed forever. This psalm is about God giving David deliverance and victory over his enemies. Now turn to 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. And David spake unto Jehovah the words of this song in the day that Jehovah delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Well, in 1 Samuel, we have Saul chasing David. In 2 Samuel, we have Absalom chasing David. And so we're now at the end of 2 Samuel. We're at the end of all of these people chasing David and all of these enemies and all of these problems. If you look at 2 Samuel 21, there is war with the Philistines. So he has had the Philistines, he's had Saul, he's had Absalom. And this is at the end of his life when he's singing a song of praise to God, thanking him for deliverance from all of those enemies. So Psalm 18 is pretty much word for word 2 Samuel 22. And I wanted you to see that. So that's the background to Psalm 18. Now, turn over to 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. These are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, saith, and the man who was raised on high saith, the anointed, that means he was king, the anointed of God, the sweet psalmist of Israel. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. The sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of Jehovah spake by me. The Psalms of David are not his own words. They're not his opinions, his think-sos. They're coming from the Holy Spirit. He was guided by the Holy Spirit to speak these things. And his word, the Holy Spirit, was upon my tongue. So, at the end of his life, 2 Samuel 22, he offers up a psalm of praise, thanking God for deliverance. And that's what we're looking at this morning. So turn with me now to Psalm 18, and we want to look at this psalm this morning. Normally, we read the whole psalm first, but because of the length of it, I do want to read all of it, but we will read it section by section as we go through answering our questions. So Psalm 18, verse 50 is the key verse here. It's the deliverance that God has given David over all of his enemies. And if you look at the division of the psalm, we're looking at our outline, there's an opening doxology. Doxology means praise. There's an opening praise statement in verses 1 and 2. And then the rest of the psalm focuses on this idea of God's deliverance. Verses 3 through 6, the need for deliverance. Verses 7 through 19, there's a vivid description of God's deliverance. Verses 20 through 31, the basis of this deliverance. David had lived in such a way, he was righteous, and the basis for his deliverance was that he was living righteously. Verses 32 through 45, some examples of how God helped him in battle. And then verses 46 through 50, a closing doxology or a closing praise. So Let's look at the text and look at our questions this morning. I want to read verses 1 through 6 together, and then we'll answer the questions based upon that section. Let's read together Psalm 18, verse 1 through 6. I love Thee, O Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The cords of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were round about me, and the snares of death came upon me. In my distress I called upon Jehovah, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears. And so the need for deliverance, he feels like he's surrounded by death and all of these enemies and problems that he was having. And there were times when he was almost killed. And so there's a need to cry out to God. There's this opening praise, I love you, O Lord, and all of the things that God was to him. And then the need for deliverance. Matthew, we'll start with you this morning. Number one, what things does the psalmist say the Lord is to him? There are eight, what I call the eight my statements. What are those? Okay. And we need to be thinking along those lines in our life today. God needs to be that to us as we go through life. One of the key ones there is my rock. It shows up again in verse 31. It shows up again in verse 46. This is a theme that runs throughout the psalm, that God is he's a stable rock foundation in my life. Okay, Anna, number two, what does the psalmist do and why?
He calls upon the Lord because he's worthy to be praised.
Right. He needs help from these enemies. He calls upon the Lord, and the Lord is worthy of this. He's worthy to be praised. The Lord is the one who can help him. And so, verse 3, enemies. Verse 50, deliverance. This really is the theme of the psalm. And because God is worthy to be praised, he's able to help him. That's why David calls upon him. Number three, Scott, did you get that one? How does the psalmist describe the troubles he is having from his enemies?
There's my identity.
Okay, Pat?
I've been surrounded by
fear. Right. If you look at verses 4 and 5, there's a lot of parallel statements here. Cords of death, cords of Sheol. Cords of death, verse 4. Cords of Sheol, verse 5. You'll see the parallelism there. So he feels like he's in a flood, and he's just being strangled and brought down by death. Of course, poetic language describing the distress that he is in. And so all of this causes him to cry out to God. So David, number 4, what does the psalmist do in his distress, and what happened?
He called out on God in his distress, cried out. God heard his prayer, and his ears are open and listening.
Right. If we're living right, then God's going to answer our prayer. And that's a very important lesson that we need to get from this. Sometimes people get in trouble in their life, and we call it parachute religion. You know, they're going down fast, and they've never been to church a day in their life. But all of a sudden, we need God because I just heard that I have cancer, you know, or all of a sudden, I need God because of this or because of that. Well, then you're supposed to be there for me, God. Well, God's there at all times, of course, but the Bible teaches us that we have to be living right if we want God to hear us and if we want God to help us. It's not just a matter of I can just live as worldly as I want, and then when I pull the parachute cord, he's going to come and bail me out, you know, right before I hit the ground. That's not how it works, and so we need to be very mindful of that. And David, as we're going to see in just a minute, when we get to verse 20, we're going to see that David had been living a righteous life, and so God heard him. Okay, Shannon, number 5. Well, before we answer that, I'm sorry, let's go ahead and read now verses 7 through 15. So, 1 through 6, the need for deliverance. Now, 7 through 15, especially along about maybe verse 19, including that, we're going to see a description of God coming down and helping David. Now, what we're going to notice here is that in this description, there is some vivid language. We're going to read about the earth quaking, and we're going to read about this great storm. What is happening here is, if you'll look in the notes section, in verses 7 through 19, this is vivid language that the psalmist uses to describe God coming down with his awesome power in delivering David. But this is figurative language. If you look back in 1 and 2 Samuel, you're not going to read about any earthquakes. You're not going to read about any fire and storms and floods and anything like that. You're not going to read about anything like that. Those things did not literally happen when God came to help David. This is vivid language that is trying to put in the mind of man things that God is doing, because he's an awesome, powerful being and he's a spirit being. We need some language that we can relate to. We can relate to storms and floods and things to describe God's mighty acts. Because he's invisible and he's spirit, we need something that we can relate to. And that's why this kind of language is used. Before we read this text, turn with me to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. When Deborah sang a song, this is just like the Psalms. Judges 5 is a song. It's a psalm. And Deborah is singing this after the defeat of Sisera. Look at some of the things that she says. Judges 5, verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "For that the leaders took the lead in Israel, for that the people offered themselves willingly, bless Jehovah. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing unto Jehovah. I will sing praise to Jehovah, the God of Israel. Jehovah, went thou forth out of Seir." Now this is talking about the battle in chapter 4. "Jehovah went out of Seir when thou marchest out of the field of Edom. The earth trembled, the heavens also dropped, the clouds dropped water, the mountains quaked at the presence of Jehovah." Well, none of that literally happened in chapter 4. But it's vivid language to describe God's actions in helping Deborah in that war. There's this type of language that shows up different places in the Bible. So what we're about to read in verses 7 through 19 is this type of language. So let's read together now. This second section would be the description of deliverance, verses 7 through 19. Psalm 18, 7. "Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the mountains quaked and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and thick darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he soared upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his pavilion round about him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness before him his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Jehovah also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. Yea, lightnings manifold and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At thy rebuke, O Jehovah, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but Jehovah was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." So what's happening here is that if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, This is all at the end of David's life. 2 Samuel 22 is the parallel. It's at the end of his life. He's being delivered from all these enemies. And the description of it is verses 7 through 19. It's like God shaking the earth when he comes down to help David. So that's the kind of vivid language that we need to be aware of in that little section of the psalm. Okay, Shannon, number 5. What kind of language does the psalmist use to describe the Lord's saving activity? Right, it literally means God appearing. It's vivid, figurative language to show that God has come down from heaven and helped whatever the situation, whether it was Deborah in the book of Judges. Habakkuk uses this same language in Habakkuk chapter 3. And by the way, chapter 3 of Habakkuk is poetic. It's a psalm. It's a song. And this is the type of language sometimes that is used when someone is singing a praise to God. They're using vivid language of God coming down. In fact, one of the verses there talks about God coming down type of thing from heaven. Okay? Patty, number 6, what does the Lord do for the psalmist?
In verse 16, draws water, and then he delivers him from the strong enemy.
Right. And so, verse 3, saved from enemies. Verse 17 and 18, delivered me. Verse 50, great deliverance. That is the theme of this psalm. And you remember back in verses 4 and 5, the psalmist feels like the floods of ungodliness, the floods of ungodliness. And then when we get over to verse 16, 17, 18, he draws me out of the flood. You see that? So I feel like I'm going down and I'm drowning. And then God picks me up out of this flood. Flowery, vivid language to describe the deliverance that David has from God. We don't talk like this anymore. We don't maybe even sing like this. But that's the way it was done. And that's the language that we need to be familiar with in many of these psalms. Okay? So he gets the deliverance that he prays for, and God does it in a very vivid way. Okay, let's look now at the next section. Verses 20 through 31 would be the basis of the deliverance. What basis does God have in even saving David? What's the cause? What's the basis? What's the foundation? Well, David says, I've been righteous, and you're going to save me, or you're going to reward me according to my righteousness. So now we have the basis of the deliverance. It's because David was living right that God answered his cry. So let's read verses 20 through 31 now. Jehovah hath rewarded me. That's the reward of being delivered from his enemies that he's just been talking about. Jehovah hath rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of Jehovah and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and I put not away his statutes from me. I was also perfect with him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath Jehovah recompensed me according to my righteousness, and according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the perfect man thou wilt show thyself perfect. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the perverse thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but the haughty eyes thou wilt bring down. For thou wilt light my lamp, Jehovah my God, will lighten my darkness. For by thee I run upon a troop, and by my God do I leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of Jehovah is tried. He is a shield unto all them that take refuge in him. For who is God save Jehovah? And who is a rock besides our God? And so the basis of being delivered and helped is David's own righteous life. Now, he's not saying here that he was sinless. There are other psalms attributed to David where he confesses his sin. Psalm 32, Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, he talks about how that he offered up sacrifice. David wasn't sinless. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying that he lived a righteous life, and even when sin was in his life, he confessed that. He offered up the sacrifices for that. He cleared that up. He was living according to God's word. And based upon that, God comes down and helps him. Look at verse 27. Thou wilt save the afflicted. Was David afflicted? Yeah, by the Philistines, by Saul, by his own son. But God saves those kind of people who are living right, who pray to God, who come to God. God's there to help. Okay, so let's look now at some questions dealing with this section. Sharing number 7, how does the Lord reward the psalmist and why?
He saves him, delivers him due to his righteousness.
Right. It's according to my righteousness, based upon and commensurate to what I've done, God is going to give a just and fair reward to that. Living right, you're going to be rewarded with right. Living wrong, you're going to be rewarded with punishment. So that's how God has always dealt with mankind. And we read in, for example, in Romans chapter 2, 5 through 8, that the judgment day is going to be according to our works. So that same phrase is used there. So the Lord is going to reward him based upon the way he has lived righteously. Eric, number 8, how does the psalmist live and how is he rewarded?
He's blameless. He's kept himself from iniquity. He's merciful.
Right. All of these words are used to describe his righteous life. You know, righteousness, keeping God's ways and God's ordinances. He uses the word perfect, which is blameless. It doesn't mean sinless, but he clears up anything that is in his life. There's nothing that can be found amiss there. Noah was blameless in the sense that at the moment that God was looking at him, he was living right. And that type of thing. And so that's the way we need to be living our lives, of course, today. And he was rewarded according to that. If you look at... Well, we'll go ahead and take this next question then. Number 9, Joyce, how does the Lord treat the merciful, the perfect, the pure, the perverse, the afflicted, and the haughty?
He treats the merciful with mercy, and the perfect with a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. The pure, you will show yourself pure. The perverse...
Right. Right. The New Testament talks about that God resisteth the proud, gives grace to the humble. So here we have it's almost like a one-to-one ratio on how God, it's an illustration of verse 20. According to someone's life, God is going to judge according to that. So we need to be merciful. We need to be blameless. We need to be pure. We need to avoid being perverse. We don't need to be haughty or proud. God is going to judge based upon how we're living. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 20, the books are opened and the dead are judged out of the things that are written in the book according to their works. So the judgment day is exactly like that. So we have to be examining our life now. What kind of life do we have now? And God is going to take that into consideration. Okay? Mike, number 10. What does the Lord provide for the psalmist? Right, and so now we're going to start getting into the part of the psalm where there's some actual examples of David confronting his enemies. He begins to say, look at verse 26, I can run upon a troop. I can leap over a wall. And when you look at Samuel, you find that David was very good in his battles, he and his men. And, you know, literally they can jump over a wall, and they took the city of Jebus and things like that. And so God is giving him the strength to take on his enemies. We're going to begin to see that. He gives him light, guidance, truth. Also the idea of blessing and things along those lines. And then teaches him how to make war, teaches him how to bend the bow and those types of things. And so we begin to see the Lord is going to give him the strength that he needs to take on his enemies. He can run like the deer. He can shoot his bow. God is his shield, and that type of thing with regard to taking on his enemies. Okay? Patricia, number 11, please. How does the psalmist describe the Lord in his word? Yeah, that's a beautiful passage. Of course, the rock theme started in verse 2, shows up again. It shows up again in verse 46. Look at some of these words: shield, high tower, which is a defense. There are some military references here. Again, it's David going to battle against his enemies. And there are these references, fortress, shield, high tower. These things deal with military exercises. And God is giving him the strength to undergo all of that. Very good. Okay, let's look at our next section now. Verses 32 through 45. Now we're going to have some examples of deliverance. We're going to have some examples of David overcoming his enemies in battle. So let's read verses 32 through 45. The God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. It's finishing up the question, and who is a rock besides our God? The God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. In battle, you want to get the high ground. You want to get the higher position over your enemy. He setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that mine arms do bend a bow of brass. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and the right hand holdeth me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. What do we read in Ephesians 6 about the shield of faith when we put on the whole armor of God? We need to be thinking as we read these verses about our spiritual battle, and God helps us to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 and following. Verse 36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I will pursue my enemies and overtake them, neither will I turn again till they are consumed. I will smite them through, so that they shall not be able to rise. They shall fall under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. We're supposed to gird our loins with truth, Ephesians 6. There's some parallels that are showing up here. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also made mine enemies turn their backs unto me, that I might cut off them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save, even unto Jehovah, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the mire of the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the nations. And people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The foreigners shall submit themselves unto me. The foreigners shall fade away and shall come trembling out of their close places. The enemies of David were not just someone in his own household, but foreigners. The Philistines had to submit to Israel during David's reign. He was mightier than they were. So the nations around Israel, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, they have to come and submit to David. So here are some examples of God's deliverance. And there is a heavy emphasis in this section on David warring, going to battle, and so forth. Brandon, number 12. What does the psalmist do to the enemies, and what does the Lord do to them? Right. And so the Lord was on his side. There's just nothing, you know, the enemies could do. And again, this psalm is parallel to 2 Samuel 22, pretty much word for word. And it comes at the end of David's life. Verse 50, great deliverance giveth he to his king. It's a summary of David's great help that God had given him through all that period of time. Okay? Tammy, number 13, what does the Lord do to the psalmist in relationship to the nations? Right. Not only is he winning the battles, but he's being exalted over them. They're under him. He's been elevated above them. Thou hast made me the head of the nations. Look at verse 48. You lift me up above them that rise up against me. It's not only is he winning the battle, but he's exalted over them. And Israel, during the days of David and Solomon, was an exalted nation. So it's not just winning a battle, but being exalted over the others, ruling over them. Okay? And Larry, number 14, what does the Lord do for the psalmist? This is the theme of the psalm. The Lord saves the king. We think about you know, Britain today. God save the queen. I titled this psalm "God Save the King." That's what this is all about. Deliverance is found in several of the verses, and that's what God does. And notice in verse 47, God is executing vengeance for me. David's not doing it himself. It's not petty jealousy or revenge. God, that's why the whole description of verses 7 through 19, God is coming down doing this, and we need to remember that. God is executing vengeance for David and helping him to be rescued and lifted up and delivered and so forth. Let's read then verses 46 through 50. 46 through 50. This is going to be the last section of the psalm, and this is a closing praise. Notice in verse 46 how that the psalmist comes back to the idea of God is my rock. This is how the psalm opened up. It's a summary statement, but it's also a praise. Verse 49, I will give thanks. Okay? And what God shows, he shows his loving kindness, verse 50. So it's a closing praise. Let's read these verses. Verse 46. Jehovah liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, even the God that executeth vengeance for me and subdueth peoples under me. He rescueth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above them that rise up against me. Thou deliverest me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Jehovah, among the nations. I will sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth loving kindness to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. I made mention in the notes that this is one of the few places in the Psalms where David is actually mentioned by name in the text and not just up in those title areas. There's a song in some of the psalm books. We don't have it in ours. I've sung it before, different places. It's in other psalm books. But the song, The Lord Liveth, it's called I Will Call Upon the Lord. It's in some song books. It's based on verse 3 and verse 46. The chorus of that song is based upon verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Some have sung that before. It's based on that verse right there. It's a great, great passage. We won't have time for all of our applications, but before we go any farther, does anybody have any question or comment? Thank you for letting me, you know, move through that. There's a lot of verses there, but I wanted to get through that whole text. Any observation, any comment or consideration? One of the things that I would say, too, by way of application, if I were to just pick out of the seven that we have there, number four, we need to be living in such a way that when it comes time to be judged, that we're living right and God will judge us according to our good works. If there's something we need to clear up or clean up, let's do that, because in the judgment day, God is going to judge us according to our works. Revelation 20, 12 and 13. The second thing that I would say by way of application would be verse 6. We're not engaged in physical battles like David was, but we are engaged in spiritual battles. And we have to put on the whole armor of God. And so God needs to be our shield. He needs to be our fortress. And we need to be calling upon God. We need to be reading Scripture. We need to be praying. We need to be praying to deliver us from evil, deliver us from temptation, provide a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13. We have a spiritual warfare going on, and we should be putting on the whole armor of God. And I'm just now noticing that should be Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, under number 6 there. That should be Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We need to be putting on the whole armor of God. Just like David was given the shield, he was given the help, he's going into battle. We have our spiritual battles, and we need to be calling upon God's help for that. And Paul says, be strong in the Lord. It's not going to be done just ourselves. We have to be strong in the Lord and all of that is a part of that. Okay, before we close, we've been... For those who are visiting, we're thankful for your presence. We've been trying to sing at least a portion of the psalm before we close. So this, I'd like to sing the first six verses of Psalm 18. This is based upon the song, Lord, Speak to Me. This will be the first six verses of Psalm 18. If we sang all 50... it'd probably be lunchtime by the time we got done, so I thought we'd just do the first six. I love you, Lord, you are my strength, the Lord my rock, my fort, my power, my God, my hiding place, my shield, my horn of safety, and my tower. Because he ever to be praised, unto the Lord I lift up my cry, for I shall be delivered thus from all the foes who me defy. With I was assailed by floods of sin, entangled by the gray strong cord. My way with snares of death hemmed in my distress I called the Lord. My cry to God for help was clear. He from his temple heard my voice, my cry before him reached his ear. Thank you.